Thank you, Jan. Well, just 2 days ago, the World Health Organization categorized the new COVID variant, Omicron, as a variant of concern. Several countries responded with travel bans and restrictions on flights from southern African countries where it's been detected. Since then, Germany, Czech Republic, Denmark, the UK, and now the Netherlands have reported cases of the new variant, most among passengers who flew there from South Africa. Earlier, I spoke to Dr. Margaret Ann Harris of the World Health Organization, and I asked her if we now have to accept that Omicron is spreading in Europe.
Well, this is one of the reasons why it was already put as a variant of concern. I mean, the recommendations we asked of countries are that they enhance surveillance and sequencing to pick it up and better understand what it's doing. So, yes, one of the reasons for making it a variant of concern was to put countries on the alert, and they are doing that very thing. So the fact that we're hearing so quickly that countries have found it means that they really are taking the actions that we've asked them to do.
And of course, the fear is that there is an increased risk of reinfection. Can you explain that?
So what has emerged in the early data we're getting from South Africa, and I just have to say how extraordinary South Africa's been, not only identifying this, but putting together the data, giving us as much information as possible, and continuing to give us that information. So what they've seen is that some people who had been infected with a previous strain were reinfected with this one, and the numbers in these early data seem to be greater. But remember, it's still very early days. As we see more of this variant, we'll understand more about that particular characteristic.
And is it certain yet that it's more transmissible?
Well, this is the other concern. So there are three criteria we really look at. We look at, is it more transmissible? Is it affecting the epidemiology? Is it likely to escape the vaccines? Now, to understand that, we have to see, there have to be studies. We're not going to have answers to that for a few weeks. But there's enough suggestion that it's out-competing Delta in some areas in South Africa. And again, this is down to the extraordinary work they've been doing down there. That suggestion already made us decide that it needs to be on the high alert list, the variant of concern.
You must be pretty worried about it, though, if you have put it on this high alert list, because by the very fact of doing it, we now have flights banned. We have other countries possibly going to be looking at restrictions, which feeds into what people plan to do for the holiday season. It's a huge disruption. So how sure are you that we're looking at something pretty dangerous here?
So certainly the decisions that countries made to put in these bans, flight bans, which in most instances are temporary, these were made actually before we listed it as a variant of concern. But countries had been seeing the data and had been making their own decisions. And that is in line with our international health regulations. We ask countries to make their own risk assessment and look at the science and make decisions according to what they see as the risk to them, to their epidemiology. But we also ask that they use that to buy time to increase their surveillance, to look at their capacity, and not to have such complete bans for long term.
Now, you praised South Africa's scientists there for being so quick to raise the alarm and to share the information. But the country's health minister, Dr. Joe Fala, has called the banning of flights from the southern countries in Africa unjustifiable. And he says that these actually violate the norms and standards of the World Health Organization. Is he correct in saying that?
Well, so under the international health regulations, overall, we don't like to see disruption to travel and trade, because you don't necessarily gain a great deal, and you can lose a lot economically, socially, psychologically. But there is limited evidence that in the appropriate circumstances, when a country is assessed that it needs to have a short break, that can enable a country to prepare and get moving. But the critical thing really is to get populations doing the things they need to do to protect themselves. So ensuring that people take the mask wearing seriously, the distancing, the work from home, and getting vaccinated. as soon as possible.
Mike Ryan says there's no reason to panic yet, but of course, as we're seeing now, we're following every twist and turn of this, and there is a bit of an air of panic about it. What do you say?
Well, it's moving very quickly. And when information moves very quickly, there is that kind of sense of that can engender anxiety. And also remember, we are much, much more open and discussing the science way more than ever happened in the past. So people may interpret that as a negative thing. I actually see that as a positive thing. I think the fact that countries are reporting, countries are saying what's going on, countries are telling their populations what's going on, that is really good. But I would say to people, don't be afraid. The fact that you are hearing everything, the fact that you are learning as we learn, that is a good thing.
Some people say this was inevitable given the low vaccination rates in some parts of the world. South Africa's own rate is 27%. Some of the other countries there much lower. What do you see as the biggest barrier to increasing vaccination levels in those countries?
The biggest barrier is supply. And this is something we have been saying, I think you've heard us saying us over and over and over again. And at the same time, we were indeed warning that it was in everybody's interests to get the whole world vaccinated at the same time, because we didn't want to give this virus an opportunity to get better and better at infecting us all, or worse, or escaping the vaccine. So what we need to do are several things. First of all, we need to readjust the supply where there's way more than necessary in the wealthier countries. That needs to be shared with the countries with fewer resources, but also the ability to make the vaccine is critical. So genuinely sharing technology and waiving the the IP is critical as well.
And who has to do that? Are those the companies themselves, the Pfizers and the Modernas, that have to waive those IP rights?
Well, with the IP rights, that's a matter for the companies, but the countries where the companies are hosted can also be very much part of that discussion. The technology sharing, again, it may be down to countries as well as companies. Remember, many countries have invested heavily in the development of these vaccines. So it's not necessarily a simple matter, but the power to do it does lie with the wealthy.
Has there been a policy failure from the sense that, say, former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, writing in The Guardian this weekend, says that for every one dose given to a poorer country, there are six doses given to a richer country? Does that tell us that we've failed?
As a world, we've failed, certainly. We've failed to overcome our sense of me first. And we've also not understood that even if you were going to be utterly selfish, the best thing you could do for yourself was to make sure the rest of the world got vaccinated at the same time. So the world has failed to overcome that reflex to look after me and mine first and, you know, think about the rest later. We actually really, really need to work together, not just to be good people, but to be sensible people.
And that was Dr. Margaret Ann Harris of the World Health Organization speaking to me earlier.